Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Dr. John Wadsworth talking to you from an undisclosed location somewhere in Earl River, Louisiana. I'd like to talk to you this morning for a few minutes on Judas and Pilate, their last encounter with Jesus. And Matt, we're going to go over Matthew 27 and gives us the account of the trial and preparation of Jesus for execution. And we'll see the last mention of Judas and Pilate in Matthew and the different results that we have there. So let's go ahead and get started. We'll start reading in Matthew chapter 27 in verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders and the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They were very jealous of Jesus because he spoke with authority, because of his miracles, because he was not a hypocrite. And they were afraid of losing power to him, as they had already seen. And so they had to get rid of Jesus. And it's the way the world does things. And we're seeing that over and over and over and over again, how they get rid of people in a worldly, satanic way. Well, verse 2 tells us, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pontius Pilate was denied for a long time to ever been in Judea because they could not find anything written about him. But they even got to the point where there was a seminary in the latter part of 1800s in Germany taught that the Bible was filled with people who didn't exist. They preached that Pontius Pilate didn't exist. Well, in 1961, the Aswan Dam held back water in Caesarea, and it exposed the Hippodrome racetrack during the period of Jesus. This racetrack, a Roman racetrack. They discovered a stone written on it that Pontius Pilate was the prefectus there, the governor of Israel, of Judea, and during that period of time. And 25 years later, they found a ring, a signet ring, that is used back then. It was like your signature, but this was a signet ring. You'd have this ring, and you'd press it on wax, and it made everything official. It had the mark of the of Pontius Pilate's signature, or a signet of Pontius Pilate. So, again, the world was proved wrong, and they keep on trying to prove the Bible wrong, but they're continuously finding that it's the truth, which it is. You can see that ring today in Israel. Well, we see in verse 3, let's see. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. Well, we see here he repented, or he regretted what he had done. It says there, Judas had betrayed, and he saw that he was condemned. Well, what did he do about it? What did he do about it? You see, this is the difference between regret, and that's what this word means, repented. It's not a sorrow of heart toward God. It's a regret that things didn't work out the way you thought they should. It doesn't mean he was sorry, but that he got caught. And it didn't work out. It's not a godly sorrow. Repentance in 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Well, what Judas had was a sorrow of the world, and he dealt with it in a worldly manner. He tried sending the money back. You know, it was dirty money. He didn't want to have the money anymore. And so he just dealt with it in a worldly, it was in a violent, worldly manner, and he got what he did, you know, he got the response. And we'll read that in a couple of seconds here. In remorse, though, and that's what Peter had when he wept bitterly after he was confronted about his denial of Christ. Remorse is a anguish of soul under a sense of guilt of or consciousness of having offended God or brought evil upon oneself or others. Regret is a pain of mind on account of something done or experienced in the past with a wish that he had not, when it had been different, a looking back with dissatisfaction or with longing. It's like that's what regret is. Regret is, you know, it didn't work out like you thought it was going to work out. Judas tries to bring the money back. He's saying, verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He went and committed suicide. That's how the world handles things. That's how it's a violent response or remedy to a problem. And that's what the world does. That's what a whole mind does. And this shows you how self-centered and selfish and egotistic and narcissistic Judas was. And the only way that he could figure out the way to get out of this thing was to take his own life and hang himself. There was no remorse. He regretted it. But his way of handling it was not godly. He went and hung himself. He was filled with himself. And I'm gonna make the decision. I'm going to take care of this problem. I'm going to fix this problem. He tried throwing the money back there. They didn't take it. That didn't work out. So he says, well, the only thing I can do is to get out of this mess that I'm in is to kill myself. Well, that's selfish. That's self-centered. It's the epitome of pride. I find it very prevalent in the United States. The cause of death in the United States, the eighth most cause of death in the United States is suicide. And within teenagers, ages 15 to 26, this is the third leading cause of death. People are so, they don't trust in Christ to get them out. They don't know about God's forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. And so the only way they know how to handle it is the way they've been taught by the world and by violence. You've got to right the wrongs and everything instead of taking it to God. If you don't think that way, you think about God's gift of mercy and grace and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to think about, and that's what we're to do. And then your remorse, your regret will turn into remorse, and you'll enjoy the forgiveness and grace and peace of God. Now, verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took the counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. Now, this is a fulfillment, actually, in Zechariah. The potter's field is there today. And it's the Potter's Field is where poor people are buried. The potters used to have their all their potter's wheels, their buildings, everything for making pottery or warehouses, and they used to throw out the back bad stuff into this field. Well, when they threw out the clay and all the chemicals that were in the clay when they made the pottery, well, it ruined the ground, and so they couldn't grow anything. So they turned into a cemetery for poor people. Now, 30 pieces of silver was the price for a slave. That's how much Jesus was sold for, the price of a slave. And so in verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king? Art thou the king? Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said the Pilate unto him, then Pilate said unto him, hearest thou not how many things have witnessed against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Well, you see, it says there, Pilate marveled greatly. He was astonished. Here's an upright man. This man has done nothing wrong. All he's done is good. What he's heard about him is good, and he doesn't respond in any way. And verse 16, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So we see here that Pilate's wife, Claudia. Now, Pilate's wife, Pilate was from Spain, and his wife was the granddaughter of Caesar. So he married into, you know, position there. And she was converted into Judaism. And then she was converted to Christ, to the Christian faith. And the Greek Orthodox Church, they have a feast day on June 17th to celebrate her conversion to Christ. Because of this event, she became, well, a believer. This dream that she had, how much it bothered her, she was already into Judaism. And then she had, she was a very religious person, and then this dream and this experience converted her to Christ. And later, she led Pilate to faith in Jesus Christ about a year and a half later in Switzerland, where he was transferred to. This is what happens, you see. This is what happens when you encounter Jesus. Pilate saw this. He experienced how righteous, upright, and he knew why they had brought Pilate to Jesus to him because of envy, and then his wife converting to Christ because of this dream, and then later on he was influenced and persuaded to trust in Christ and became a believer. And just think about him praising Jesus today in heaven. Well, that's what happens when you encounter with Jesus. You go worldly way, or you go the Christian way and submit, and you experience the forgiveness and salvation of God. Okay, let's read on. The governor answered and said, verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? Then said Barabbas. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. See the difference? Pilate said he was involved in turning the innocent blood in, and that was Judas. Judas said he turned in, didn't want to have anything to do with that money that he got for innocent blood. And Pilate is saying here that he's washing his hands of the whole thing because he can see nothing wrong with this man. This is innocent blood. And he was persuaded later on to believe in that blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 25, Then answered all the people and said unto his, and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Boy, isn't that something? It's just like our government today. Well, we ain't going to worry about the problems that we're producing now. We'll let our children take care of them. 35 years later, these Jewish people, these Jews, let their children take care of their problems, what they caused. 35 years later, the Romans destroyed the city, killed the people. So that was a prophecy that was fulfilled. Then released Barabbas unto them, and he was scourged. And he was then released, verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, they put a crown of thorns on him, and that goes back to, again, the curse that Jesus took on for us, and as found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. That was what Jesus was crowned with, the thorns. He was crowned with the curse of Adam, with our curse for our sin. And Jesus bore it all. Now, there's two different ways that you can respond. You can respond by Pilate receive Christ as your Savior and be forgiven for your sins, so that when these memories come back into your mind of how seeing Jesus and him being crucified and scourged and being misaligned by the Judaizers and because of envy and that, you'll say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me for what I did. Or you can take it all in your own hand, work it out for your own way and the worldly way and saying, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to work it out. I made a mistake, but I can still fix it my way. And that's all be like Judas, try and throw the money away and give it back the money. Or if you can't resolve it any other way, you can't think of any other way to handle it, you can commit suicide. That way you kill yourself and you kill the problem. No, you didn't kill it. You didn't kill the problem. The problem just goes into a deeper state of destruction. Or you can go and let Jesus take your destruction. Let Jesus take your punishment. Believe in the blood of Christ. Believe in the crucifixion Pilate did. What will you do with Jesus? God bless you. hope this helps you. And if we can help you, just give us a call or just go to email us. You can call us at 985-789-5988.